Amen. It's good to see everybody. Good to see everybody tonight. We're gonna look at God's word for just a few minutes, and then we're gonna spend a little time praying. But if you would take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter number 3. I love the book of Ephesians. There's things in there that really stretches me, makes me scratch my head sometimes. I read it and I believe it by faith, but there's still things in there that I still scratch my head and say, "Oh Lord, I believe," but you know, that whole "help me with my unbelief" part of that. But this is not one of those passages. It's such a deep book that Paul has been given the opportunity to pen. And you know, I heard that friend of mine, Chris Johnson, at First Baptist Albertville, I said something in passing this morning about that they have a new initiative, and they're calling it CAL, Church on Wheels, and they got a school bus, apparently. I haven't seen it. I got to go by there and see it tomorrow. But apparently they've bought a school bus, an old school bus, and they've painted it to look like a cow. He said it was on their property, and so I'm going to go by there and see it tomorrow. But again, great marketing ploy, because if it pulls into a community, they'll think that you're giving away Chick-fil-A. So they'll obviously come out. And then they're gonna minister to the boys and girls and young people and do that in different communities. And I heard him talking about, you know, there's so many things that we can do. We don't have to do the biggest things. One of my favorite things to do, we get into the housing authority, and we go in there, and I know it sounds crazy, but we had light bulbs, and we just go to the door and knock on doors and say, "Do you have a light bulb out in your house? We're giving away free light bulbs, and if you need a light bulb, we'll come in and change it." And you know what? Believe it or not, you think nobody will let you in their house to change a light bulb. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. They'll let you in their house, and they'll let you climb up on a ladder, and they'll let you take that old bulb out and screw a brand new one in. And when that light comes on, you talk about how the love of Jesus Christ lights the world, and how we've seen young people saved. We've seen young moms, single moms, pray with us in their living room where the bulb was blown, and then we screw that bulb in, and she comes to know the light of the world in her heart when her living room is lit up. So there's so many ways. But I heard Chris talk about, you know, that they're going to do a lot of things, and a lot of it's like needs-based ministry. Several years ago, I was exposed to, I went with our association, when I was in Edgewall Association, I went with our association on a trip down to Leesburg, Florida, and there's a church there, First Baptist Church of Leesburg, Charles Roche. And Charles Roche was on cutting edge many, many years ago. They employed a grant writer. When we had, you know, certain presidents that would said, "Hey, there's faith-based initiatives and there's faith-based grants that are available," First Baptist Church of Leesburg employed a grant writer. And that was their job. They wrote those grants for those faith-based initiative grants that were available. And First Baptist Church of Leesburg had a whole ministry community. They had buildings. They had a clothing closet, and they had a food pantry building, and they had a pregnancy testing center, women's ministry. They had a women's, you know, doing like a rehab, and a men's building, same, whatever their rehab is, if it's drugs or alcohol or whatever. And they lived on those campus. They lived in those buildings on their campus. And then they had a furniture barn, and it was amazing to see. It was amazing to see. And Charles Roche wrote a book about how that they, you know, everything they do is needs-based ministry. They want to find a need, meet a need, but their goal is to tell somebody about Jesus. And it works. It works. If you can meet a need and you can give them food on Mondays, you know, I know the federal government says we can't preach to them to give them food, but we get them in the building, we share a devotion with them, and then privately we're able to nurture what Christ is doing in their life, right? We're able to nurture that, and we're able to kind of water it along. But there's so many ways to do that. And light bulb thing, that was not original with us. That was Charles Roche that we read in his book. And so we've done that for years. We go in those communities and do those things. But Chris Johnson was talking about how that even some of their men, they're going to teach. And in Albertville, there's a, you know, there's quite a, how do I say that? There's quite a diversity of people groups in Albertville, Alabama, in that part of Marshall County. There's a large ethnic, you know, ethnic diversity there. You have white, and you have African American, and then there's a huge population of the Haitians. There's a large population of Haitians. And they speak a totally different language. They don't speak Spanish like that. It's a little bit of Spanish and a little bit of French, and they call it Creole. And so it's really hard to communicate with them too. And so there's so many different people groups, and some of the hardest working people that we have in this country today. And I'm not opposed to the immigrants being in our country, as long as they come the right way. We want them to do things the right way, come the right way, make sure they're legal and do all of that. I'm not opposed to that in any way. And some of the hardest working people that I know today are the immigrants that came to this country. And they're in Albertville, Alabama, and that's a hard working bunch of people. And they work in the factories and they do those kind of things. But there's also another group out there, they speak no English, you know. And they're talking about doing English as a second language in that cow bus, Church on Wheels bus. And they're talking about even men, just taking men that can't read a tape measure. And which is, that's a craft, by the way. You know, not everybody can read a tape measure, even if you think you can. Not everybody can, you know. And so if you're a builder, you understand that. I told Rex the other day, I had guys in my church, we go build churches and buildings and houses. And as long, I can frame with the best of them, as long as he puts a line and an X where the stud goes. I'm good. Amen? See, not everybody knows where all that stuff goes and how to do that. But I can run a nailer, air nailer, long as I know where the stud goes. I mean, so we've done those kind of things. But I thought, that's as simple as teaching people how to read a tape measure where maybe they can get a better job or, you know, advance themselves, take care of their family. And I thought, man, but our commitment is, no matter what the need that we're meeting, our ultimate goal is to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the goal. And so here in Ephesians, I said all that to kind of set that up to say what I want to say here in the book of Ephesians. And look at chapter number 3. I'm going to read verse 16. I'm going to get to verse 18, and I'm going to spend a little time there. But he says in verse 16, he says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And that's a, you know, that idea of rooted and grounded in love. One of my favorite old songs, I'm not going to sing, but that the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song. The guilty pair bow down with care. God sent his son to win. And then the other verse that says, that if we with ink the ocean fill, and where the skies of parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. And that's what Paul is writing to this church at Ephesus, and he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height of God's love, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that amazing? That he wants us to know what is the height, the width, the depth, and the breadth of the love of God. That God loved us so much that he did all those things for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for the day. And thank you for the opportunity to pray with these folks and study your word for a few minutes. And Father, I ask that you'd help us to understand as we just think about some of these dimensions of Christ's love and how important that is to us, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ really is. And so, Father, we ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, and knowledge is no good without action, right? I mean, if you get knowledge and you know there's no action that results from that, then it's no good. But if we learn what is the length and the height and the width and the depth of Christ's love, and then our goal is to then demonstrate that to somebody else, right? I mean, somebody did that for me one day. They demonstrated the love of Jesus Christ, and while I was wretched and lost and undone and without any hope in the world. You know, I've told you my story. A friend in high school loved me. I don't know why, but he obviously, it was a God thing, because he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me when I was unapproachable. He loved me when I was unreachable to a certain degree. And he never quit, and he never gave up. And he'd keep inviting me, and he'd keep loving me. And when I was mean-spirited to him and not very kind, he just let that roll off, I probably called him everything in the world, probably nothing nice at times. And he let that run off, and he kept loving me with the Christ love, and he kept demonstrating to me the love of Jesus Christ. Like I've said before, many years later, he was the best man at our wedding. You know, he was an important person in our life, in our formation of who we are in Christ today. And so I'm very, very thankful for a young man named Curtis that loved me and demonstrated the love of Jesus Christ. And so Paul's writing here, and the aim is for us to think about these dimensions of Christ's love. And again, knowledge is power, but it's no good without action, right? It's no good without action. We can get all the knowledge we have in the world, just cram it in there. If we don't do anything with it, then it makes no difference. And we can have all the head knowledge in the world, but we need to have something that results in being hands and feet of Jesus, right? So if we know about the love of Christ in these dimensions, then maybe we're motivated to do something about that. He says the breadth of Christ's love may have power or be able to grasp how wide the love of Christ is. And I think sometimes that for us as believers, I think sometimes, don't you think our love is pretty narrow in scope sometimes to our detriment? You know, it's pretty narrow. I mean, we love people that sometimes are lovable. But it's harder to love somebody that's unlovable. Do you know anybody that's unlovable in your life or your walk that it's hard to love? Yeah, everybody's got those folks down our, well, maybe not even down, but in our tree. We all got those folks, right? And then we got people in the community, and maybe they're not as fortunate as others, or maybe they don't come from the best socioeconomics, or maybe whatever the case may be. And sometimes our love is very narrow in scope, and Paul is trying to remind these Ephesian believers to understand what the breadth or how wide the love of Jesus Christ is. Sometimes our love, and it becomes very narrow and focused, family, relatives, friends. And that's about it sometimes, you know, that. And sometimes we think that's all we got time for. And Jesus has called us and left us in this world to love the unlovable, to reach the unreachable, to minister to the hurting and give a cup of water in the name of Jesus and feed the hungry and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. But that's messy. It's messy at times to get involved, isn't it? Y'all know that, Miss Georgia, right? I mean, it's hard sometimes to minister to people, and our spirit can get... if we're not careful, don't guard our heart, we become cynical sometimes, you know, of saying, well, we see the same people, you know, what's wrong with them? Well, God hadn't called me to judge those people. God's called me to love those people. Amen? And not to judge them, but to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to them. And so, you know, instead of being just narrow and limited to just family, friends, and relatives, and we fail to be a blessing that we should be, Christ's love is broader than the widest sea, deeper than the deepest ocean, so on and so forth. All of those things, his love includes race, religion, ranks, and the whole world. That he loved this whole world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. That we all can come into the family of faith because of who Jesus is and what he did for us, and the love of God was on display for us at Calvary. How much did Jesus love us? Somebody said this much, right? As he hung on the cross and poured out his life's blood and died a horrible death in our place, about this much, right? So, and then he talks about the love, the length of Christ's love. And he says that we may have power or have the ability to comprehend grasp how long the love of Christ is. And so we talked about the breadth, and now we talk about the length. The love of many, I only can speak about us as Christians, right? I am one. I'm one of you. So my focus is for me. I think sometimes our love can be too short-lived. You know, we get very excited about something and our love is on display, and then before you know it, it kind of wanes a little bit, or it's short-lived, and we don't stay the course with that, you know. Again, and I think that love, or our love, is controlled sometimes by our emotions, and then rise and fall with the whims that come along and those kind of things, you know. And again, I bet, you know, I hope the people at First Baptist Albertville are I listened to my friend preach the other day, and I hope that they're convicted, but at the same time, I hope they're challenged to be motivated to be a part of what they're doing, you know, and not be short-lived, you know, not start something and then in a couple of months the new wears off and then we're on to something else, but to stay the course and demonstrate the love of Christ. Christ's love is enduring and eternal. I'm so glad of that because, again, my mother-in-law, we were in Birmingham yesterday, my youngest daughter's house hunting. And that kid, can I just say, she's just like her mom. I mean, her mom's not here. No, she's exactly like me. And she gets something on the brain, and then she just, you know, and I'm like, you are wearing me out with that. But I admire her ambition. You know, she's paying. I was telling Keith today and Angie today at lunch that, you know, living in Birmingham, it's very expensive. And their daughter and son-in-law that live in Montgomery, they understand how expensive it is paying rent. And she has ambition to own her own home and not just flush her money away in rent. And so, and she's 24 and she's single. And she said, what do I do? I said, well, you get pre-approved. Well, how do I do that? Then we're going to call this person. We're going to leave it to you though. We're going to help you along the way. We'll kind of nurture you along and help you along the way. So yesterday she's like, I got a house I want to look at and y'all are coming with me. So we've spent, cute little house, about 1,250 square feet, nice neighborhood in Fultondale. And you know, and of course we go in and she goes, well, everything has to be painted. I'm like, well, you're going to have to hire somebody because Dad don't paint, right? Dad don't paint. Vicky paints. No, you don't paint either, right? You don't paint. Somebody paints, but I don't paint. So we'll have to hire somebody to do that. And you have to consider that cost and yada, 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 all those things. But, you know, I'm so glad that I love her with an enduring type love that Christ loved me. Amen? Because she could really try me. But I'm glad Jesus loves us eternally and enduring. Even the Lord said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3. And it's never ending and it doesn't stop. When I fail, he loves me. When I think I'm good enough, he loves me. When I'm not good enough, he loves me. When I'm wretched, he loves me. Amen. Anybody listen to the song I told you about a couple weeks ago? The God That Stays. My goodness gracious. He's the God that stays. He's the God that stays. I'm telling you, that speaks volumes to me. I will listen to that song as much as I can. And to think that when everybody else has walked away, he stands there with wide open arms. He's the God that stays. Loves me with an everlasting love. And sometimes our love is very short-lived. And it's sometimes it's performance-based as well, too. You know, we love people based on their performance. If they perform well, we love them. If they don't perform well, we cut them off. Right? Just how it is. Long as they do good and do right, we're going to love them. What happens, though, when they do wrong and it's messy? We stop loving them. We love them with an everlasting love. Amen? Amen. That brother had an addiction and got through that. God delivered him. I said that I got a friend needs to come and share his story. $300 a day crystal meth addiction. $300 a day. He was, the only thing he didn't do, he sold it. He sold it. The only thing he didn't do was manufacture it. But he sold it, and he was at the point he was shooting crystal meth. I mean, he was hardcore. His wife loved him with an enduring love and prayed for him. Matter of fact, to the point that one night he said, I was either going to slip off into hell or die, or both, or I was going to get saved. And he knelt in his bedroom, and he asked Jesus to come into his life, and he repented of his sins, and God delivered him from his addiction that day. Amazing. And he's got a story to tell. He's a big old redneck with a beard and curly hair. But my goodness gracious, what a friend he is to me. And I'm thankful for that. Christ doesn't love us just for a week or a day or a month or a year, but he loves us everlastingly. And then he says, the breadth and the length and then the height of God's love. You know, again, we've got some friends that are contractors that can build anything, do all that stuff, and we've traveled with them all over the, you know, and the only thing they let Pastor Chuck do is tote the wood from one place to the other. Because if it's a straight line, I can cut it. But when they start talking all them angles and things, I'm out. You know, I had geometry and I passed that. I probably made an A in that. But that was just because I jump through all the hoops, I don't do all that very well. Anybody, you're a builder? You like to build and do all that stuff? I have no clue about any of that. And they start talking about these angles and this and this and this. I'm like, look, somebody else got to run the saw because I can't do that. Now, what do you need toted over there? I'm a good toter. When we did disaster relief, I'm a pilot. I pile the brush over there and I pile the brush over there. I'm the pilot. That's what they say. We did mud out. I'm the mud outer. You get in them houses. After Katrina, we went into the ward there. It literally looked like that some of those little homes that somebody just filled it up full of water and picked it up and shook it upside like this and then turned it upside down, furniture and all in it. And that's what it looked like when we got in there. And the petroleum and the smells of the fish plants and things of the and dead bodies, places with X's on them, homes. People didn't make it. They perished there in the storm. And we do mud out. You know, when you take a claw hammer, Brother Jimmy, and you can put it on a drywall screw and just pull it out of a 2x4, that's some pretty good rot and some wet, right? And yeah. And we strip those houses down to nothing and spray them and treat them so people can come back in there and hopefully build back and restore some semblance of life again. And you end one of them suits with a mask and all that because it's yucky. But that's loving people where they are, right? He says the height of God's love or Christ's love, that we may have the ability to comprehend and grasp how high the love of Jesus Christ is. The love of, again, as Christians, because that's our, you know, that's our level, right? That's what we judge from as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes as Christians, it's limited. We say we only will go so far. And we're not willing to go beyond sometimes. And granted, I understand all those things. You know, we're never going to condone something that's illegal or immoral or anything like that. Granted, I understand that. You know, there are certain lines that we can't cross because it's illegal or it's immoral or whatever else it is. But other than that, I mean, did Christ stop? You know, when he got halfway to Calvary, did he go, you know what, I've just changed my mind? No. If you remember the Jesus film, you've seen that, right? Several years old now, and somebody said that they're making another movie. I heard that the other day. We were discussing that. We were talking about the age of the movie, the movie that Mel Gibson, and what's it called? Yes. But you remember in that movie, there were a lot of emotions in that movie, right? There were times where you kind of high, you know, and things were good. And then when Jim Caviezel, is that close, that played Jesus in the movie, when he was beaten, I was pretty mad. But there were times when his ministry was on display in the movie, and you see all those things and the miracles and all that, and the love and the excitement and all that. So you got those highs, those emotions of the highs, and then you go through the torture of Christ. And so now I'm angry. And then they put the cross on his back and he's taking it, you know, up the Via Dolorosa, and he's on his way to Calvary. And I remember distinctly in that movie, I don't remember all the details of that movie, but I remember one scene in that movie that changed my life that day. He fell under the weight of the cross and his body being destroyed, and his mother ran to him. Remember that scene? And she looked at him, and he said, I do this to make all things new. That's what he said. I said, phew. And at that point, the joys and the highs and the anger and the emotion changed, and tears ran down my face to think that Jesus loved us so much that he endured the cross, despising the shame, even to the point of death, the death of the cross, the height of Christ's love. Sometimes ours is limited, and it's limited by our own, sometimes our selfish motives or desires. And it's performance-based. But I'm thankful that there's no limit to the reach of Christ's love. It goes beyond the highest mountain and the moon and the star and all those things that we sing and think about. Christ's love reaches the from the loftiest and the most proud. He lifts up those in the gutter. I was in the gutter one day, wretched and poor and blind, with no hope in this world, and Jesus loved me and demonstrated that love for me when he went to Calvary and died a horrible death, that ignominious death in my place, to think that he loves us like that. And he, wow. And then lastly, there's the breadth and the length and the height and then the depth, that we would be able to comprehend these things. And so it'd be transformative in our life. I think if we can comprehend these things, as Paul writes to this church at Ephesus, he's writing to these Ephesian believers and he says, this is going to be transformative in your life. When you understand what the height, the breadth, and the depth, and the length of Christ's love is, it's going to transform your life. It'll either transform your life or it'll do something else in your life. But we would hope that it's transformative, where it causes us to have the knowledge that comes in, and then we're motivated to do something about that. Right? Love this lost world with a love that Jesus displayed for us when he went to Calvary. And he said that the depth of Christ's love, that we may be able to comprehend or grasp how deep the love of Christ is. Christ's love goes beyond the deepest sea. You know, I love the ocean. I love the water. I'm a water person. I like the water. I love the ocean. I'm going to scuba dive one day. I haven't done that yet. I'm going to scuba dive one day. I would get in the cage with the sharks, too. I just, you know, I know that sounds crazy, but there's just something about that. But, you know, there's trenches in our oceans that are miles deep, miles deep. And the pressure, and these creatures that live in some of those places. It's amazing, isn't it? God in his creation, and these trenches that are so deep we've never even seen or been to, because the pressures are on, we just don't have the ability. We don't have we can't even create something that can go that deep because the pressure just crushes it like a can. Isn't that amazing? And Christ's love goes beyond that, reaches beyond the highest star. It's amazing. The depth of Christ's love, it's an infinite love. Christ's love reaches down and lifts up the discouraged and the despairing and the downtrodden and the destroyed. And he restores them in a way that only he can do. Wow. The depressed and the despondent, all of those. Christ's love reaches down and allows humble sinners to have access, as we said this morning, through the tabernacle, him sanctuarying with us, dwelling among us, that it's a beautiful picture of the very unsearchable, holy, majestic God that he is. He created a way for sinful man to have access to him. Anybody know the name E.V. Hill? Remember Pastor E.V. Hill? Pastored in California in the Watts community. Pretty rough part of town. African American pastor, E.V. Hill was a dynamic preacher to listen to. They decided they'd reach the people of the Watts community, so they formed all these teams, and they'd have a prostitute team. I know that sounds. No, I'm not kidding. Now I'm not making light of that. They'd have a pimp team, and they'd have the drug addict team, and the alcohol team. And they demonstrated the love of Jesus Christ to a people that were downtrodden, in despair, destroyed by all that stuff of the world. And they made a commitment to demonstrate to them what is the height and the breadth and the width and the length of the love of Jesus Christ. Wow. And of course, I'm challenged by that. I'm convicted by that. I mean, how many times I'm given opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ, and sometimes maybe you're too busy. You ever been too busy? Yeah. We've all been too busy. We don't have time. We see people sometimes in the wrong light. We see them as obstacles instead of opportunity, right? Sometimes people are distractions. They distract you from your plans for that day. And maybe we should stop sometimes and say, well, maybe this is God's plan for me for today. I have an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to this person today. Instead of looking at them as an obstacle or as an opponent or as a distraction from the day. He says again, in closing, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Now, I understand that you and I are limited in our ability to understand that agape top love, that love of God. I'm not suggesting that we're able to understand all of that. I'm not. But if we could just get some of that. If we could just get some of that, right? But if we're willing to say to the Lord, so Lord, here, I just want to try the best I can to demonstrate to the rest of this world with the time that I have what the love of God is. The height and the breadth and the length and the depth of the love of Jesus Christ. And like I said, I'm challenged by that, but I'm also convicted by that, because there's times that sometimes people can be. They have the best intention, and sometimes it's just a cry for help. And sometimes, you know, if I'm confessing before you, sometimes you see those people, you look at them, and it's a distraction from your day. And that's the wrong attitude. God's left me here on this planet, this tiny blue speck in this universe, to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to this world with whatever time I got. And you too. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to be able to study for a few minutes. We do ask that you help us to be, Lord, we're challenged by this, yes, but we want it to be transformative in our life. We want this to be something that transforms us and changes us. When we think about transformative, we think that there's olds replaced with new. We do a lot of things in this world where, I mean, some people run and work out and diet and exercise and do all those things, especially this time of the year, because they're trying to change their appearance. And Lord, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Matter of fact, all of us would benefit from doing more of that. But Lord, some of that can just be vanity. Vanity, vanity, as the scripture says. But God, help us to be transformed and be able to comprehend what is the length and the width and the depth and the height of the love of Jesus Christ. Let that be transformative in our life, to the point where we're willing to take time and demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. And we don't see people as obstacles or distractions or opponents. We see them as opportunity to put on display the love of Jesus Christ. So change me. And change these folks, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.